paid by the British to provide information from the inner councils of the revolutionaries. Although he was spotted consorting with British General Thomas Gage, and his friends knew that he was living beyond his means, his revolutionary credentials were impeccable, and he was beyond suspicion. His spying was only discovered because he foolishly entrusted his mistress with a letter to his British spymasters. Instead of delivering the letter directly, the mistress left it with someone who passed it to the Continental Army. The woman was detained, questioned by Washington himself, and finally identified Church as the author of the damning letter. Church was arrested and claimed that he was feeding false information to the enemy by inflating troop strengths in hopes of persuading the British to abandon their cause. This feeble argument failed to convince Washington, who convened a council that found Church guilty. But because the colonies had enacted no law regarding espionage, Church could not be tried for the crime. To recommend an espionage law, the Continental Congress quickly appointed a committee that included two future U.S. presidents, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Congress approved their recommendation, mandating the death sentence for espionage, but Church could not be tried retroactively. Instead, he was banished to the West Indies, and his ship sunk at sea en route to his new home. The Benjamin Church affair included many of the elements of espionage cases that would plague U.S. national security throughout American history. Spying for money. Failure of the spy's colleagues to recognize indicators of his espionage. Unfettered access to valuable national security information. The spy's rationalization of espionage when caught. Exposure resulting from the spy's shoddy security practices. And finally, the impact of an individual spy case on the development of espionage legislation. The companion volume of this book, Spying in America, traces the history of espionage against the United States from the Benjamin Church case until the onset of the Cold War. America remained particularly vulnerable to espionage in those 175 years because of a chronic disbelief that those like Benjamin Church who were entrusted with the nation's secrets would betray them. By the start of the Cold War, the United States had established institutions and capabilities to combat espionage. Yet, this disbelief persisted. The intent of this study is to examine the history of this disbelief through the stories of individual spies, and to provide the reader with insights into the unique nature of espionage against America, its successes, failures, and consequences for national security. To counter espionage, as one intelligence historian put it, you must first understand it. To do this, you must be aware of its history. American disbelief in espionage reached its heights in the decades preceding World War II. A century and a half after the Church case, the Soviet Union ran the most significant espionage penetration of the United States in its history. Americans disenchanted with capitalism flocked to the ranks of the Communist Party of the United States, CPUSA, and the Soviets exploited the opportunity to form an underground network of spies in almost all key agencies in the administration of Franklin D. Roosevelt, and in the Manhattan Project, the nation's most secret military venture of World War II. The Soviet effort was aptly dubbed the Golden Age of Espionage by two historians of the era, Alan Weinstein and Alexander Vasiliev. The Soviet network included spies from all walks of life, from inside and outside the government, from the highest levels to low-ranking clerks. The network included couriers, like Elizabeth Bentley, a Vassar graduate from an established New England family who became the lover of her spy handler, Jacob Golos, and ran his extensive network after his death. It also included Harry Dexter White, the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, one of the most senior U.S. government officials in history to become a spy. Inside the Manhattan Project, the Soviets' ring included David Greenglass, a junior mechanic at the Los Alamos National Laboratory, and his brother-in-law, Julius Rosenberg, whose own network of spies passed the Soviets secrets on a broad spectrum of U.S. conventional weapons besides the atomic bomb. And finally, it included one of the youngest American spies in its history, Theodore Hall, a brilliant scientist in his 20s when he worked on implosion, one of the key elements